This is Barbara Ridenour returning with the second half hour of the Decatur Herald and Review, dated August 12, 2016. We'll continue with the obituaries. Delmer Lee Burge, Sr., age 85, of Decatur, or formerly of Decatur, from Howell, Michigan, died Tuesday, August 9, 2016. A memorial service will be held Monday, August 15th, at 11 a.m. at Grace Lutheran Church in Howell. Visitation will be at 10 a.m. Joan Elizabeth Kenny, 80, of Decatur, died Tuesday, August 9, 2016. Services will be held at 1 p.m. Monday at Grace United Methodist Church. Visitation from 5 to 8 p.m. Sunday, Brentlinger and Earl Funeral Homes, Decatur, and 1 hour before services in the church. Burial is in Graceland Cemetery. Memorials may be made to Scoville Park Zoo. Clarence Walker Jr., or Junebug, 58, of Decatur, died August 4, 2016. Services will be held from 6 to 8 p.m. Saturday, August 13th, at Walker Funeral Service. Walker Funeral Service is in charge of arrangements. John A. Winnick, 85, died on Tuesday, August 2, 2016. Services will be held at First Presbyterian Church in Decatur on Saturday, August 13th at 11 a.m. The family will receive visitors in the gathering room outside the sanctuary beginning at 10 a.m. In lieu of flowers, the family welcomes memorial donations to the First Presbyterian Church. Beverly Williams, 65, of Decatur, died Wednesday, August 10th, 2016. Graveside services to celebrate her life will be held at 10 a.m. Monday, August 15th, in Graceland Cemetery. Graceland Fairlawn Funeral Home is in charge of arrangements. Darlene K. Bunton, age 70, of Hinesboro, died Wednesday, August 10th, 2016. Visitation will be held today from 5 to 7 p.m. at Crable Funeral Home in Oakland, Illinois. Funeral services will be held Saturday, August 13th at 10 a.m. at the funeral home. Burial will follow in Rest Haven Cemetery in Mattoon. Memorials may be made to the Hinesboro Christian Church. Crable Funeral Home in Oakland is in charge of arrangements and services. Now we'll turn to the opinion page and continue with letters to the editor. On Biker Learns Hard Way to Wear Helmet. On August 1st at approximately 7 p.m., I was in a motorcycle accident going south on Martin Luther King Jr. Drive. I had just left the VFW Post 99 after the meeting and was heading to the roadway. I turned left onto MLK Drive, and once I had the motorcycle straight going south, that is all I remember. The next thing I was aware of was there were two paramedics at the scene treating my injuries that I had sustained from my accident. I don't know any of the people that witnessed the incident or called 911. However, I want to thank all that were involved in getting me to the emergency room at Decatur Memorial Hospital. I also want to thank the fire department, ambulance, and the Decatur Police Department. My injuries were a concussion, laceration to the head, contusion on my right hip, and today I had x-rays taken of my right rib cage and found that I have one fracture and possibly another to my rib cage. I was not wearing a helmet. I usually wear a helmet, but that day I was not. I feel very lucky that I did not become a motorcycle fatality statistic. I will continue to ride and ride safe, and from now on I will wear a helmet every time I ride the motorcycle. To me, this is a lesson well learned the hard way. To Officer Yeager of the Decatur Police Department, thank you for your concern while you were interviewing me in the hospital. That goes to all involved in helping me. Signed, Johnny Sierra, Decatur. Put these two items on 2017 Decatur agenda. To the city of Decatur, the city of Decatur needs two things. expanded recycling for apartment buildings, and an auditorium on the second floor of the Decatur Public Library, signed Stephen Luker, Decatur. Now, thumbs up, thumbs down. Thumbs up to Meridian High School graduate Lauren Doyle for representing her country and making her community proud as a member of the U.S. women's rugby team that competed in the Olympics this week in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. While Doyle didn't bring home a medal, she did prove that anything is possible. Thumbs up to another successful Decatur celebration. For 31 years, this unique street party has provided good food, good music, and good times, and this year was no exception. A huge shout-out to the long list of volunteers who put in countless hours to make it happen. Without them, the first weekend in August just wouldn't be the same. Thumbs up to U.S. District Judge James Zagel for upholding the prison term imposed against former Governor Rod Blagojevich for attempting to sell or trade an appointment to President Barack Obama's old Senate seat. Only by holding corrupt politicians accountable for their actions can we hope to deter others from doing things they know are wrong and illegal. Thumbs up to the Central Illinois Food Bank and Crossing Healthcare for the free food distribution event held this week and plans to hold others like it on a regular basis. While it would be great if the economy was such that events like this weren't needed, it's good to know that there are programs in place to help those in need. Thumbs up to Sierra Day of Cerro Gordo for being included in the inaugural class of the U.S. Presidential Scholars in Career and Technical Education, the honor, which traces its roots back to 1964 to honor academic success, was expanded this year to include students who also excel in beyond the classroom. Sierra, who has been very active in the family farm, heads to Lakeland College this month to study animal science. Thumbs down to Pokemon Go players who forget that while they are playing the game in make-believe Pokemon world, they are still navigating the streets of the real world. That means you need to pay attention to what's going on around you so you don't put yourself and others in danger. And show a little respect for the private businesses and neighborhoods you encounter along the way. Thumbs up to Roberto Quiroz for grinding out a win at this year's Ursula Beck Pro Tennis Classic in Fairview Park. Decatur has become a desirable stop on the tennis circuit, attracting players from all over the world. The event served as an entree to another week of visitors as this community plays host to golfers and fans from all around this year's Decatur Forsyth Classic this weekend at Hickory Point Golf Course. Now back to briefs for Friday, August 12th. Park hours on agenda. The Decatur City Council on Monday will consider an ordinance that would close Central Park and Water Street Plaza between 10 p.m. and 6 a.m. The two downtown park areas previously did not have established hours. City staff said in a memo to council members that damage to the parks has increased over the past several years, as well as illegal activities that create more burdens for law enforcement. Exceptions would be granted for events and activities that are sponsored, co-sponsored, or permitted by the city, as well as people walking to or from work, emergencies, police, and official city business. The new hours would be similar to those of most other parks in the city. The Decatur Park District's parks are open from 6 a.m. to 10 p.m. Trail hours are dawn to dusk. Decatur Homeless Block Party. The Vinnie's Barbecue Block Party for the homeless will be from 2 to 5 p.m. Sunday, August 14th, outside the Water Street Mission, 758 North Water Street. The event, now in its 15th year, will feature music by DJ David Lee. Health management. Take charge of your health. Live Well, Be Well, an evidence-based program to help manage chronic health conditions, will be held at the Macon County Health Department, 1221 East Condit Street, from 9 to 11:30 a.m. Mondays, beginning August 15th. The six-week program is free to anyone with a chronic health condition, but participants are asked to commit to attending all of the sessions. Two leaders, who also have chronic health conditions, will present the information and facilitate discussion. For more information, call 217-423-6988, extension 1130. That is 423-6988, extension 1130. Or email mmooey, at macon county health.org. Here's a correction. The entrance to the new drive at Dennis School, the entrance for the new drive at Dennis School is on Wood Street, and parents will exit onto West Main Street. The directions were reversed in a story on Decatur District's summer projects that appeared on Thursday. The newspaper was given incorrect information. Signs and direction arrows will be up to guide parents. Golfers birdie scoring funds for shelter animals. Decatur. Alexandra Cassie's road buddies have fur. "I have two dogs that travel full-time with me," said Cassie, a professional golfer who will compete in the Decatur Forsyth Classic this weekend. "Both dogs are 9 years old. One is a standard poodle, the other is a miniature schnauzer." She has a third dog, a recent rescue terrier mix, who stays with her parents in Florida while she travels, along with her two cats. At every tour stop, she chooses an animal shelter, and fans can pledge a donation to that shelter for every birdie she makes during the tournament. Visit her website, Alexandra Cassie Golf. That's Alexandra, this is all one word, CASIGolf.com. AlexandraCassieGolf.com. Click on the sponsorship tab and then how to sponsor me for the PayPal link to pledge. The money will go to the Humane Society of Decatur and Macon County. "I grew up with animals all my life," Cassie said. "My dad was constantly rescuing birds and possums. He was a school teacher. Animals matter, too. When I got my own dogs, it ramped up my feelings for animals." She and her boyfriend volunteer at shelters during their winters in Florida, and she said that she understands that people say it's too depressing to visit a shelter and see all the homeless animals. But she realized that the more often those dogs spent time with people and went for walks and got socialized, the better their chances were to get adopted. "If you want to get some good exercise, you walk 10 or 15 dogs, and I'm exhausted when I do that," she said. She also has a blog on her website where she writes about everything, and her email address is alexandracassiegolf@gmail.com for fans who want to stay in touch. Like her dad, Cassie rescues any animal she can. "I'm probably going to kill myself one day trying to get a turtle out of the road," she said, laughing. "I've rescued opossum babies when their mothers were killed. I'm just kind of crazy," she said. In state and regional news, State Fair Foundation efforts stall. Springfield. The Illinois State Fair kicked off its two-week run of corn dogs, carnival rides, and livestock competitions Thursday with the annual Twilight Parade and Preview Night. But efforts to create a private foundation to support the fairgrounds in Springfield and DuQuoin remain stalled. Governor Bruce Rauner and Illinois Department of Agriculture Director Raymond Poe have urged the General Assembly to authorize the creation of a nonprofit organization that could solicit private funds and corporate sponsorships to help with upkeep of the facilities that host the Maine State Fair in Springfield and the DuQuoin State Fair, which this year runs August 26th through September 5th. State Senator Bill Brady, Republican of Bloomington, has sponsored a bill that would create the foundation, but it failed to advance to the legislature this spring despite receiving unanimous approval in the state executive committee. Brady's bill, which is similar to legislation from State Senator Andy Menard, Democrat of Bunker Hill, that passed the Senate in 2014 but was never approved in the House, wasn't called for a vote before the General Assembly wrapped up with its extended spring session in late June. One major difference between Brady's bill and the previous one, which he voted against, was that his version would have exempted projects paid for solely with foundation money from having to go through a normal state bidding process. After the bill was approved in committee, however, Menard introduced an amendment that would require all projects to follow the state's bidding requirements. Brady, whose district includes the Springfield Fairgrounds couldn't be reached Thursday for comment. Testifying before the Senate committee earlier this year, Poe, who sponsored a similar legislation as a state representative before resigning last year to head the Department of Agriculture, said that the ability to raise private funds would help the department catch up on a backlog of maintenance projects that stood at $180 million. Most of those projects are in Springfield, but as of this spring, $12 million to $14 million worth of work was needed in DeCorn, according to the Illinois Capital Development Board. Poe, Rauner, and other supporters of creating a private foundation point out that neighboring states, including Iowa, Indiana, and Missouri, have such arrangements to help support their fairs. We can't overly rely on state funds to maintain these facilities, Rauner said during a March news conference at the Springfield Fairgrounds while standing in front of a barn with a gaping hole in its roof. We've got to come up with creative solutions that don't pressure our taxpayers more. Even if Brady's bill eventually wins Senate approval, its prospects in the House are dim. House Speaker Michael Madigan, Democrat of Chicago, has expressed skepticism about the kinds of public-private partnerships Rauner favors. This year's fair, state fair, runs through August 21st. Illinois asks for private partners to join Toll Lane Project, Chicago. State transportation officials are asking private partners to help develop an express lane, toll lane on Interstate 55 in the Chicago area. The Illinois Department of Transportation on Thursday issued a request for private parties to assist with the new toll lanes planned to run 25 miles from Bolingbrook to Chicago. Illinois Transportation Secretary Randy Blankenhorn said working with the private sector will teach the department best practices for similar projects and potentially save taxpayer money. IDOT says enlisting private developers would defray the estimated $425 million project cost. Private partners would handle design, building, operating, and managing the toll lanes. The Chicago Tribune reports that about 170,000 vehicles a day travel the stretch of road. The new toll express lanes would be added to an existing median between Interstate 355 and Interstate 9094. County paves way for new roads near planned wind farm. Decatur. Work on the infrastructure for a Macon County wind farm could start by the end of the month. The Macon County Board unanimously approved a resolution during its Thursday night meeting on an agreement, a transportation impact analysis between the county and Twin Forks Wind Farm, the subsidiary of German-based power company EON. The agreement paves the way for construction to proceed on roads near where 139 wind turbines are planned. I know they're wanting to get work started on this right away, Finance Committee Chairman Jay Dunn said after the meeting. I wouldn't be surprised if we start seeing work done in the next few weeks. The impact analysis was required to provide a step-by-step plan for construction and subsequent effect on the area, which spans 24,000 acres near Moroa and Warrensburg. Twin Forks will cover the cost of materials and labors to work on the more than dozen miles of road in the area on the project. Per an agreement approved by the County Board in June, the Macon County Highway Department will be responsible for issuing permits and approving for specific parts of the construction. Some of the work that needs to be done includes strengthening roads for heavy loads, widening lane corners for trucks, and installation of cabling and utility boxes. Road work is expected to be done despite a lawsuit against the county by residents who live near the proposed wind farm location. A case management conference scheduled for October 17th in the Macon County Courts facility is scheduled. In other business, the County Board unanimously approved a memorandum of understanding between the County and the Community Investment Corporation of Decatur Incorporated and Land of Lincoln Legal Assistance Foundation Incorporated as part of the implementation of the County's Residential Mortgage Foreclosure Mediation Program. The two agencies provide assistance and guidance for people going through the mediation process. The program has been rolled out this summer with mediators trained and approved. On Biz, Walgreens, Lockhart's North Barbershop, Osaka Japanese Restaurant, Two Sisters and a Mom Boutique, West & Company, LLC. The Walgreens store at 1315 North Water Street will close Wednesday, August 17th. The store opened in 2005. The decision to close it was not easy, said James Graham, senior manager of media relations for the Deerfield-based company. Many factors are taken into account when decisions like this are made, Graham said in an email. Among the factors is close proximity of other stores. We have five other Decatur stores that will keep customers happy and healthy by sustaining and growing excellent service to the community. He said prescription files will automatically transfer to the store at 1311 Route 48 near the intersection of Oakland and Grand Avenues. Pharmacy patients will receive a letter providing more information about their records. Graham said the store employees were offered job opportunities at other area stores, and almost all will continue working for Walgreens. Brandon Lockhart is continuing the process of bringing back the art of classical barbering by opening yet another location this week, this one at 3777 North Woodford Street, Suite B. This makes three barbershops in the Decatur area, not to mention Lockhart's Barber College, plus a fourth shop called Lockhart's and Elam Barbershop in Lockhart's native Shelbyville. Folks have been asking for a north location for a long time, he said. We serve a lot of clients from northern Decatur, Forsyth, Maroa, and Clinton. The new store manager is Brett Conlin, a recent graduate of the Barber College. Our hours are 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Tuesday through Friday and 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. Saturday. Call 330-8377. That's 330-8377. The other Macon County locations are 248 West Main Street, open since 2012, plus a newer shop at 1425 East Village Parkway in Mount Zion. For more, go to www.lockhartsbarbershop.com or find the business on Facebook. The Osaka Japanese Restaurant has debuted in downtown Mattoon, offering Japanese steakhouse-style dinners, sushi, noodle dishes, and more. Hibachi chef Kai Chun Kai Huang and sushi chef Bin Jerry Liu opened Osaka at 1412 Broadway Avenue, just north of the U.S. Bank Building. The hibachi dinner menu options include vegetable, chicken, salmon, shrimp, New York strip steak, filet mignon, and various combinations, including with lobster and scallops. Each dinner is served with miso or other soup, a house salad, vegetables, and fried rice. The restaurant offers a variety of sushi rolls, small orders of sushi or thin-sliced sashimi, and sushi bar entrees include shared meals. There are more than 20 types of house special rolls. Huang suggested that diners who want to sample a variety of menu items in one dish could try a bento dinner. The compartments of the bento box hold a teriyaki, tempura, or sushi entree, plus gyoza potstick or dumplings, a four-piece California roll sushi, and fried rice. Other menu items at Osaka include yakisoba and thick udon noodle dishes, appetizers, salads, and a children's menu. Osaka offers lunch specials from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Monday through Friday, including bento box, hibachi, sushi bar, and sushi roll lunches. Carry-out meals are available. Osaka Japanese Restaurant is open from 11 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. Monday through Thursday, 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. Friday and Saturday, and noon to 8 p.m. Sunday. Call 217-234-6666. That's 234 66, 66. Terry Moore has moved back to Mattoon from Decatur and opened with her two daughters, the two sisters and a mom boutique. "We like to see downtown come back to life," Moore said. "My older daughter is really into redoing furniture, and we like crafts, so we decided to give this business a try. In addition to Heather Hinton's furniture repurposing, the boutique sells gifts and antiques and can provide photography, wedding and other special event planning, fundraising and marketing, all in one shop. Stop. Hinton's younger sister, Carrie Moore, is a third co-owner. Located next to Jack and Bill's Clothing at 630 Broadway Avenue in Mattoon, the boutique is open from noon to 4 p.m. Wednesday through Friday and 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Saturday. For more information, find the business on Facebook or call 217-512-3899. That's 512-3899. West & Company, LLC, has purchased the bank consulting practice of Jeffrey A. Rice. Rice founded his firm in 1982 and is engaged in the performance of directors' exams, loan reviews, and compliance audits. The business was based in Windsor. "It's very important to me that my company be sold to a reputable firm that shared my commitment to the provision of client services at the highest level," Rice says. "I am confident that West & Company, LLC, is that firm. We are pleased to serve as the successor firm to Jeffrey A. Rice and are pleased to add bank consulting services to the list of services provided by our firm," said Brian E. Daniel, partner in charge of the firm's accounting and auditing group. Mattoon-based West & Company, LLC, was founded in 1968 and has since grown to become a regional accounting firm with 5 offices. It is a full-service CPA firm with offices in Mattoon, Effingham, Edwardsville, Greenville, and Sullivan. Shelby County road projects get state funds. Shelbyville. The Illinois legislature's decision to fully fund the State Department's of Transportation has more than $3 million in long-delayed road and bridge projects in Shelby County getting underway. "We've just been waiting," said County Engineer Alan Spiesard. "What's happening now is really unprecedented for Shelby County. We have $3.4 million in projects under construction right now." The road projects include a $1.6 million upgrade of the Oconee Road in western Shelby County and 3 bridges, including a $1 million bridge inside the city limits of Shelbyville. Spiesard said that the Shelbyville bridge and other railroad line over a railroad line, which has been closed, probably won't be operational until next spring. The bridge will be built still this year, he said, but it will be spring before the road work is completed and the bridge can be opened again. Spiesard said a working IDOT budget also meant more opportunities for local road departments to receive grant funding. "There are 2 grant projects opened that we are participating in," he said. "One involves upgrades to roads with access to federal land, which we have because of Lake Shelbyville. Hopefully we'll be able to do some of those improvements." County Board Member Dick Clark asked if anything could be done about a rough railroad crossing on Illinois 16 on Shelbyville's east side. Spiesard said the Illinois Commerce Commission had notified the Union Pacific Railroad that the crossing was subpar and must be repaired. "I would expect to see that work happening very soon," he said. A little bit of trivia today in history. In 1939, the MGM movie musical, The Wizard of Oz, starring Judy Garland, had its world premiere at the Strand Theater in Oconomowoc, Wisconsin, 3 days before opening in Hollywood. That's all we have time for this Friday edition of the Decatur Herald and Review, dated August 12, 2016. This is Barbara Ridenour. Have a pleasant weekend and week to follow. I look forward to reading with you again soon.